was free. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. No, let's move it to 6. We're that far. Remember, we've been talking about the Spirit of God and being filled with the Spirit. We must be filled with the Spirit. And then next we'll move to we must walk in the Spirit. And then number 3, we must hear the Spirit. So they're talking about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit here and different aspects of it. And in this passage where it talks about being filled with the Spirit, verse 18 of chapter 5 gives us the whole idea of, it says, be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, sometimes the people mix up being indwelt by the Spirit with being filled by the Spirit. Being indwelt by the Spirit, that happens at salvation, and you have all the Spirit there. But being filled with the Spirit doesn't necessarily that you are filled with the Spirit just because you're saved. Being filled with the Spirit is being controlled by the Spirit, that you respond to the very Spirit of God that lives within you. Okay, for instance, it says, I want to go hit, I'm a sister, a little sister, and I want to go hit my brother in the head. All right? And the Spirit of God says, yeah, this one D is, no, that's what happens in our mind, isn't it? Yeah. But the Spirit of God says no. Okay, do we yield to that? Are we controlled by that? I just want to be, you know, today I just want to be angry at my wife. I don't know why we would want to be that way, but we are flesh, aren't we? Or something happens, I just, no, then something comes and we've got to what? Here's one I think will be an easy illustration. That's not too convicting to you, but God brings someone to your mind that hasn't been brought in a long time. Whether saved or unsaved. But God brings someone to your mind. You think of that person. Honestly, you say, well, if I don't pray for him, that's not a sin or that's not what. God's brought it to your mind. A person that is filled, controlled by the Spirit will see, there's a reason God brought that to my mind. And there is a passage of Scripture that says God will bring to your mind and give you that unction and will give you, lay those things in your heart so that you don't even know what to pray for, but I do know what you need to pray for. And so maybe it wasn't the Spirit that brought that person to mind. Still not a bad thing to pray for. But that's the controlling of the Spirit. When things happen, okay, what does God have for me in this? Being controlled by the Spirit. And so then Paul goes in the rest of these verses from really 19 through chapter 6, verse 9, which we'll finish this afternoon, is that these are evidences that you and I are controlled by spirits, by our relationship with God, by our relationship with one another, by our relationship with our spouse, husband, wife, and then our relationship in our family with the children and also the parents. And so all of those things we've gone through, that you, the way he tells us to live here in chapter 5, if we respond that way, it's an evidence of you being controlled by the Spirit of God. Now the last one that he comes to in this passage where we see, and it's also reiterated in Colossians and in other passages if we were to take, but I just want to take this passage, and that is chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. And here is, if you're controlled by the Spirit, it will be evidenced by your relationship in your workplace. I call it your relationship to your employer and your employee. But I put all the verses together in that paragraph. We can just say your workplace, and that covers it both. So we can find out, okay, in my workplace, I first of all know that whatever, there's some things that are going on in my workplace that I have to do. I know that the Spirit of God will want me, they're the no-brainer ones. But as a believer, you should be the best worker in your workplace. And we'll see that why here. You should be giving that 100% and hard as your workplace just because, first of all, you're a believer. In fact, I talked with, when I was over in, when I was, before I came here and worked for that, that Myers, which is, it was like a Walmart, you know, with the it has the GM stuff, general merchandise, and also a grocery store on it. They're big in the Midwest. And I was a manager there, and I was in charge of receiving, as I've mentioned before and to others. But, you know, that's just a fancy way of saying you empty trucks all day. You know, that's really that what it is. And I'm in charge of all that, and I would be working right along with them as they empty their trucks, the ones that are hired for that. And we would be talking. I would be always talking on the with them on the line. Got chances a lot of times to talk about different things. And one of the things that I was telling one time, I remember, I can picture it. I was on the left side of the runner and talking with the different ones and saying, because they were mumbling a little bit about their pay. And I said, well, let me just clarify something. It is too bad that you're not paid more because as far as labor and physical, you're doing the hardest thing in this whole store, what you're doing physically and all this. I said, but you're the ones that have hired the job for this amount of money. And so whether you get paid this or you get a dollar an hour, you should be working as hard as you can. And if you don't want to do it, then you need to put your 2 weeks' notice in and say, forget it. But you're the one that put an application in, was hired, so you work hard at that. That's just character. As a believer, we have to represent who? Not have to. We get to represent who? Our Savior. So as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to have that in mind because I look at two things. I think there's a responsible relationship with the evidence of your relation to your employer. Then there's the golden rule relation that you have with employee to your employer. So let's look at the Scripture. Let's just read the verses and we'll go back and forth with them. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 9. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service, as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master who's in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Okay, let's look at that. First of all, that the employee. We see here that it says, servants, be obedient to them that are at your masters according to flesh with fear and trembling in the singleness of your heart. First of all, I think I ask the question, what kind of responsibility does an employee have to the workplace? What to do? What kind of responsibility? Knowing that we're looking at this and he's looking this at from which kind of side? Through the eyes of who? Christ. And through the eyes of you being a believer. And so we see here, with that question answered rightly, I would say this. That kind of responsibility that employee has to the workplace is to respectfully, sincerely, conscientiously, and pleasantly obey your employer. Notice what the first thing he says. And really what he says here, there's not other commands, there's only one command, and then there's an attitude in that command that we do it. Because the second question is, what kind of attitude does an employee have in the workplace? This is, how do you carry on that responsibility? What's the responsibility? There's one command, and then it gives us an attitude. What is the command to do to your employer? The employee to the employer. What is the one command? Be obedient. This is the same word used up where it says, children, obey your parents. And so we see here it says, be obedient, and he talks about servants. He's talking about the servants, the employer, to us in our present day application. To be obedient to them that are your masters. He has simply given us a command for the employee to be obedient to who? The boss, the employer. There is no getting around that. He just says, you be obedient. Now, what does that go in line with? Does that go in line with the context of Scripture that we have found in verses 18 through 6, 9? What is the principle? What is the principle that we have here in all of these? What's the common denominator in all of these? Don't you answer, because we already talked about this. What it is? What is it? Good. Thank you. You've encouraged me already that we're getting some across. It's submission in your relationship to who? God, which shows your submission to one another, which shows your submission to husband and wife, which shows your submission to children and parents, which shows your submission to your employers and employee. That's the common denominator. That's what God is trying to get across to all of us. Submission. Submitting yourself in the fear of the Lord to all of it. Submitting. And so to be in, notice it says then, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. And now he's, why do you think, let me ask you, I'll get you to answer that. Because, you know, after you eat, you get a little, maybe I'll have you stand and answer the question, you know, or whatever. But why do you think he says, or what would be some practical applications, you think, where it says, be obedient to them, but he says to your masters, but notice he says, according to the flesh. Why do you think that God had Paul put that in about a responsibility that we have, obedient and an attitude? Well, really, really, that's the responsibility. You're obedient to the masters according to the flesh. Why do you think that is? Why do you think he put it in there? Honestly, if you answer some, you won't be wrong. I'll give you a star or an A, okay? We'll go with the modern day education where everyone just gets it no matter what, all right? What would it be? What are some things you would think? Yeah. Okay. Okay. See? She got a star. You want an A or a star? Okay. What else? Somebody else. Yeah.
I was thinking it was relating masters and flesh, earthly masters versus.
Exactly what it is. It's exactly. That's why he's saying it. Because there's that idea that here, you already are supposed to submit to your heavenly Father. So as you do that, you need to realize that there's going to be masters for you in the flesh. And for you to be filled with the Spirit, you need to realize that they are in the flesh and they're not going to have you do some things that you really want to do. By the way, in this obedience, there always is an exception. There's only one exception. What is that exception? Exactly. They tell you to sin. Here's where the world takes it, and some even believers might say, well, I don't respect that person as my leader. I don't need to obey him. That is a lie from the pit of hell, or just the pit of that person that said it. Because that's what we rationalize in our flesh. God never says you need to respect someone before you submit to them in this era. He always says, take a look at everything that he ever sees through the whole scriptures. You submit, you rank under, in essence, because I told you, and that will manifest your submission to me. And so he says here, you be obedient to your masters according to, as he says, according to the flesh. And then he says, with fear and trembling and sincere singleness of your heart and unto Christ. So in other words, you have another master who watches over you. and is just as merciful to you in all his dealings, and to whom both you and your earthly master are responsible for. So now, and I'm skipping ahead, but if you are a Christian employer, you have to realize you have a master, and you should want to have that same relationship with your employees that your master has with you. Makes sense, doesn't it? So as a leader, as an employer, I should want to, or that person, whoever it is, should want to have the same relationship that Jesus has with his people. I want to have that same relationship. So I need to just do it the way God wants then. Now that's natural for him. And by the way, when we're in Christ, it becomes more natural for us. Not natural because we're in the flesh, but to be filled with the Spirit, that will come. And so the open admonition that's addressed to slaves to obey is an example of submission within the divinely ordered relationships that he's called for. And as he refers way back to verse 21, submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. It's an instruction of wise living, and it's all a consequence of being controlled by the Spirit. It shows that these masters are lords within the earthly realm, where in the sphere of the human relationships, in contrast to the Lord who is in heaven. So Christian slaves belong to one Lord, Jesus Christ. So be obedient. We've got to realize that this obedience is in the present tense. That means it's indicating an uninterrupted obedience. An uninterrupted obedience. Believers are not, one man put it this way, believers are not to obey simply when they desire to or when their employers are fair and reasonable. They are to obey in everything and at all times, the only exception being when they are instructed to do something immoral, idolatrous, blasphemous, or like. Listen to what Peter says and tell me if we are not in the right direction here. Another passage of Scripture, God's Word, it says, servants, okay, employees, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, not only those that are telling you to do the things you like, that you don't have to work hard. It says, not only to those, but also to those who are unreasonable, for this finds favor. If for the sake of conscience towards God, a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly, for what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. So the first obligation of a Christian is to please the Lord and to be faithful testimony to him. And one way to do this, the apostle says, giving willing obedience to those under whom you work, regardless of who they are or what their character is like. Being a Christian should always make a person better, more productive, more agreeable worker. People will not be inclined to listen to the testimony of a Christian who does shoddy, careless work. Great example. You are one that does hard work, and your employer sees that, and there's something that goes on, and you say something to him, thought it might work better this way. Do you think they're more apt to listen to you and maybe change than if you were a whiner and a grumbler and didn't work hard? When I worked at that Myers, I had about 12 different adults under me in Loden, and some of them were, there were ladies and men. And there was one lady that just didn't get the work done. Really slow. I don't know whether, I can't say she was lazy. I don't know her. But just didn't get the work done like others, and to get it done fast or whatever. But as a, being in the, I guess they were in the union or whatever, I could not give more hours to another person that hadn't worked as long as that person. Because if I gave some more hours to get things done more and to better, because I know how their work was, that person that had more seniority could take those hours away from that person and take it. I will admit that sort of bothered me, but that was the rule. That was it. And so I couldn't do that unless I went to them and say, could I give them more hours or this way or that? And could have done a lot more. But the way you do, you change things is you righteously appeal. And if they say no, then what is your attitude? Fine, that's what God's trying to teach me then. It might rub you the wrong way. But again, this is all under the auspices. They're not telling you to sin. They're telling you to cheat. Well, make shortcut this. You don't have to see this or that. Well, you don't do that. That's not submitting. And so we must realize we must work to the best of our ability. And so we then come to this, right then after the tells obedient, to the attitudes. First of all, the first attitude, fear and trembling. The idea is not the cowarding fright, but the honor and respect that make a person anxious to please. That means you and I have to, we are fear and trembling, we're anxious to please. Because if we fear God, that's an ordinance. That's something we need to do to please God. The place where a believer works is part of the field of service for the Lord, and it is often a mission field. You see, the service to their masters then is to be rendered out of reverence and awe for him. It will also be characterized by integrity and singleness of purpose. What is here that is called sincerity of heart is single of purpose. As the inner center and determines attitudes and actions, the heart is marked by sincerity and purity. So we see, notice he says, first of all, fear and trembling. And then it goes and says, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Okay, you're fearing that, fear and trembling. In other words, I want to do right because of my Savior. But I'm doing it singleness of heart. I'm doing it in sincerity. In other words, it'd be with an undivided mind, integrity, uprightness. I'm obeying them, fear and trembling, but I'm doing it because I want to. I have the right attitude. You know, sometimes we need to stop and say, Lord, correct my attitude. Forgive me for that attitude. I need to be single, undivided in my mind to you. You see, the idea is to do well the work we are assigned to do without complaining, bragging, criticizing the work of others, or in any other way that's being disruptive. That's the way we're to work. He's just plain. You obey. You submit to the leadership that's over you with fear and trembling because you have a master in heaven. Here's in earth. And do you think that the Lord doesn't know where you work? Does he not know your situation? I believe God's the one that puts you there. So he knows everything. And I believe that's also where God shows you not to work there. Nothing wrong with that either. When they're doing things and you just can't hit it, then you give your 2 weeks' notice and go find another job. But until that's up, you finish the work as if with fear and trembling and in singleness of heart. Look what it says then in verse 6. It says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You don't do it to what? Do you think that means you don't do it to move up the ladder? Honestly, it does. Now, pastors, is it wrong to move up the ladder? No. But he's saying that's not the attitude you have. You have the attitude, you let me move you up the ladder. Let me reward you. And if you don't get that reward, that means you don't need that. I'm just continuing learning that lesson. I hope someday, well, probably won't learn it complete till I get the glory. But we realize here that you have the right dedication that way, and determination, and diligence. In other words, one commentary said, they must not obey simply to catch the eye of their masters for selfish purposes. They should not seek to please men with the alternate motive of seeking profit for themselves. The apostle means, therefore, fill your service with the energy and the enthusiasm with which you would fill it were it done for Christ. For it really is being done for Christ. It is Him that you belong. Take then the service of yours and lift it to a higher plane. Do the will of God from the heart with all enthusiasm. In other words, you know that employer that's not saved? You're to obey Him as if it was Christ asking you to do it. Now notice, Christ would never ask you to do something wrong, so you can't put it in that place there. That's what it's He's saying. And so the faithful believer does not simply do the minimum his job requires, much less work only when his supervisor or other workers are watching. That's eye service, the way of eye service, only doing it when someone's watching. He does not need to be checked up on. He works just as hard when he's passed over by a raise or promotion as when he is being considered for them. It really hurts sometimes, doesn't it? You're passed over for someone else, and someone, you know that person's a slacker, but because of prejudices or whatever, that person has got something. And you know what the Lord wants you to do? You just work just as hard. That means there's something that you don't know. God isn't putting you in that. You'll never know sometimes, folks. God's keeping you from putting you in a position where there'd be more problems, where there might even be lawsuits in today's day and age. That's why just do what God wants you to do. If God puts you in that position, then God's giving you the strength and power to be able to withstand that, whatever might come. And so we must realize that He works diligently, because to do so is the will of God, and that sincere desire from the heart. Look, verse 7 then, you see that direction in verse 7. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. Really what we're just finished talking about. Paul urges Christian slaves to obey their masters. They are to do wholeheartedly and enthusiastic, showing the ultimate that they are serving not human lords, but their one in the Lord in heaven. The term specifies the manner in which they are to serve appears here in this passage, and it simply means zeal, eagerness, wholeheartedness. Clearly, their enthusiastic service will benefit their masters. But the slaves are reminded the whole reason they're doing it is to glorify God. So with good will, render services unto the Lord and not unto men. That expresses the attitude of the worker who does not need prompting or compelling. A Christian is where God wants him to be, is obedient to render that service as unto the Lord. That's the most challenging. Did you know the things that you're looking for this week as you go to work? Those challenges that you have, God's the one giving you those. And you do it as unto Him, saying, oh, I get to do this. God gave this to me. See, I don't believe there's a difference for the believer between the secular and the sacred. I believe everything is the sacred. And I believe there's no difference. Someone that's in full-time ministry is someone that's as we might say, a secular job. But I believe it's all sacred. It's what God's called you to do. It's what God has placed you. And you must do it wholeheartedly. That's what God's trained you for. And sometimes He puts you in a place where you're not trained for, but you know that's what He knows best. And you will be trained for that. You'll get better in that. And so we see that the whole right direction, that fervent spirit, it's the work attitude of a spirit-filled Christian. Now look at verse 8. You see that motive, the right motivation then. The end of it all goes down to the right motivation, verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, okay, whatever you do, good, he receives of the Lord, and there's no respecter of persons. the idea there. No bond or free. There's no respect of persons with the Lord. There might be with that employer, but that's that employer's problem. That's not yours. And when you become some charge of over, you make sure that you should learn that lesson and say, I'm not going to be prejudiced towards that. And so we see that the following of all these descriptions of proper obedience, we see what the real motivation is. The content of what they have been taught is that their heavenly Lord will reward them for the good that each one does. So the assurance that when they, along with all other believers, stand before the judgment seat of Christ, they'll be rewarded for the good deeds that they've done with the right motivation. Remember this, motives mean nothing when you're doing wrong. They mean everything when you're doing right. You can have a right motive and do wrong, you're still what? Wrong. You're still sinning. You can do right, do things that are right with the wrong motives, and you are sinning. But motives mean everything. But without faith, it is impossible to, finish it for me, please God. And so we see that link between really verses 8 and 9 that God will notice and really give the blessing. So we come to really verse 9 in the employer, and we see the golden rule relationship. Do unto them as you would have them do unto you. And so we see the employer's responsibility and reason to have the right admiration, admonition, and accountability in the workplace. Follow along with me as we read verse 9. And you masters, do the same thing unto them. Do you know what that's talking about? It's referring to what? The same things that the employees are doing. Be obedient, and here's the attitude. So he's simply saying, here's the attitude also carried over to you, but I'm not going to go into depth and just repeat myself. I'm just going to add these things. So do the same things unto them, and he says, forbear threatening. In other words, you're in a position of authority where you can wreak havoc. Don't you threaten them. You show, you care, and you love. By the way, when you love, is there times where you're going to have to say no? I love my children to pieces. Well, I had to say no to them a lot. I even had to discipline them in ways because I loved them. If I didn't love them, I would not have done that. And so sometimes as an employer, you show the love and care, but you need to make sure that they see that and know that. It's amazing when you have as an employer, one that is that way. Boy, you have a tendency to really respect them. And what is that you have a tendency to want to do? Really, you do. You want to please them. When I was at that Myers, there was the store director that really put my name in there, but he took his hands off and gave it to those managers that were the next level down, whether to hire me or not. But the store director was a deacon in the local church at First Baptist Troy, where I went, Steve Allen went, my sister went, knew him. I knew him well. And I knew that as I came, in fact, they told me I was the first one that was ever given a manager position off the street without, going up to it. And one of the things that I realized, because he was a great store manager, I mean a great one, one of the best in the whole area. And not only that, he was a believer, and I did not want to disappoint him. I wanted to what? Please him. So that was one of my motives. Next to doing that for the Lord, I had the next motive because of the way he was. And if you're an employer that way, you'll get a better work out of your employees. And at the end of my time there, I remember where I was. He was talking to me. knowing that I was going to go come here, he said to me, Mark, I know that God's going to bless or direct or whatever as you go. Because of your testimony here amongst these 250 some odd workers. He said to me, when we put you in that position, it was really unorganized back there and a mess. And now today you walk back there, everything's organized. And when the trucks come in, it goes here, this or that. Also, he said, the workers were fighting and arguing. And now they smile and they get the work done. There's no whining and complaining. And your testimony among this is with the 250 workers. That was nothing that I did. That was all because the Spirit of God was in my heart, and I had choices to make, just as you have choices to make, but I looked at him and didn't want to disappoint him and his work so that they wouldn't look bad on him. And so we see that Paul treats this truth about employers. And masters are to treat their employees as they themselves might want to be treated as God's children. And only a spirit-controlled believer is able to fulfill the obligations given in this section. Because look at what it says. Forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Those employees that don't know Jesus, they don't realize there is a master in heaven still. There's just not their master. And he still is in control. And you know what I found out? The businesses that have made it, and maybe there's some, and I don't know how it would be, but I got this idea from a man that was high up in one of the businesses in Detroit. I don't think it was an automobile. I think it was in construction or whatever like that. But he went in front of his board where he was, and he was high up in that. And he said, if I were to give you the principles from Forbes, this was after he gave a speech of how we could do better and different things like that. If I gave you principles from Forbes magazine, you would all stand up and say, that's great, let's do it. The principles I just gave you was from the Bible, God's word. I believe every successful business, what they're doing, successful business in God's eye, what they're doing, is taking principles from God's word. They just don't know it. Principally, I'm saying. You see, only Paul's saying to masters, promote the welfare of your slaves as you expect them to promote yours. Show the same interest in them and in their affairs as you hope they will show in you and your affairs. Stop threatening. In other words, let your approach be positive, not negative. Hence, unless you do this, in other words, don't say, unless you do this, I will do that to you. But rather, because you are a good and faithful servant, I'll give you a generous reward. You see, God impartially is the closing truth in Paul's discourse on being subject to one another. Notice it says, here's no respect of persons. And that's the conclusion that he says when it's set in the whole theme of all of these verses, which you just said to me was what? Submission. Now he says, the concluding thought is there's no respect of persons being subject to one another. Spirit-filled believers, whether husbands or wives, parents or children, employers or employees, are to be mutually submissive because they are equally loved, equally cared for, equally subservient to a common master, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be filled? You want to see whether you're filled with the Spirit? Then let it be evidenced by your relationship in your workplace. Our dear Heavenly Father,